Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead.
Hey, wait. Before we get into all the introductions and shit, I don't know if I've asked this question already, but every time I hear the song, are they talking about getting high?
I believe there's some references.
He said he had a sack and cat's eyes and all the things. You know, I picked up on those subliminal devil worshiping messages in the rock and roll music.
Yeah.
Talking about making money, brother, making money.
You don't get cat's eyes for making money.
Cat's eye marble is the most expensive one. That's the one that's valuable.
Okay, well, on with the introductions then.
but isn't it perfect that you equate that to getting high? Thank you, Murder.
He said he got a sack. What sack? Okay. He said he was getting a sack. That's all I heard, and cat's eyes, and he was blazing or something. So I don't know.
Hey, Murder One.
Yeah.
Go ahead and introduce this show. I want you to do it, brother.
Okay. Live from Planet X, it is Phoning It In with your host, the Norcross gambler / baller, Larry Goodman.
Yay.
Trent Van Dries.
Yeah.
The unknown soldier, Trent Van Dries, and yours truly, the Dark City Lion, the urban legend. Smoker of all. One. How was that?
Very good.
I like that, Dark City Lion.
I just made that up the other night, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'm going to start using that because I'm a lion.
I'm just impressed you got my last name right.
I know. I've been practicing in the mirror every morning.
Good.
I say it like, they say if you say your name 5 times in the mirror, you'll come up behind them, so I just say it 4.
Well, Larry, I'll give you the honors here, buddy. I'm calling this show like the Super Sampler Platter, but our samples are not skimpy. Why don't you give the rundown of what we all have tonight?
Well, let me start with what we don't have. We had listed in our preview Christian Miscagni, and to discuss OVW and some issues he had with Muhammad Ali Vaez, but I understand that he's decided discretion is the better part of valor, and he's going to pass on that, so he will not be with us tonight. Who we will have is, as we discussed on our last show, Danny Only, who got himself kicked out of the WWE Hall of Fame, apparently. He's going to call in and tell us the story of what went down there. We're also going to have, a little later in the evening, Jimmy Rave. On a more serious note, wanted to discuss a little bit about Larry Sweeney, since he knew him from Ring of Honor and so forth. Our featured guest will be the one and only promoter, owner of Rampage Pro Wrestling, Dr. Johnny Gayton. He'll be on a little later.
Trent. What you got to say now, motherfucker? He's coming. He is coming to pull your big card. He's pulling it. He's going to slap you with it. I waited for this day.
Me too. Go ahead, Larry.
You're scared. I can tell. That's why you didn't want to do the intro.
And
we hope in just
a few minutes to have the legendary assassin Joe Hamilton joining us to discuss some issues about something that came up over the weekend here in Georgia. And, you know, coming up shortly, he's already in the green room, the man himself, Chicken Hat Charles, with the bottom line.
Both of those.
Here we go again. This is the poop part of the sampler.
Well,
like the frog,
number one,
like the frog
number one, I actually... Murder One, I actually had an idea. Tell me what you think of this idea, okay? Since our next show will be 2 weeks from today, when Charles gets done with his commentary tonight and we get done raking him over the coals like he deserves, I want you to give Charles his topic to discuss 2 weeks from today.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now we're going to have fun.
Exactly.
Okay. And he's gonna do the topic, right? He's not going to bitch out or nothing and be like, well, you know, I couldn't find the topic on three-breasted strippers or nothing like that. I mean, it'll
be
all
well, it has to be, no, it has to be a something appropriate.
Wait, don't you get an intro before you just barge in on people's conversations?
This was Trent. That was my Charles impression.
Oh, I thought you sounded just like him.
He did pretty well there, didn't he?
Holy shit. I was just like, what the? See, this man won't even let me talk.
Oh, Murder One, will you stop with your trifling?
It'll be all wrestling-centric, I promise.
Great.
I'll get some good stuff.
Good. You got a few minutes to think about it. Larry, I did want to touch real quick on a situation in Nashville, Tennessee involving trademarks.
Yes, it's funny you should mention that. Just calling as you were bringing that up was Reno Riggins.
Oh.
He was calling on my cell. I'm sorry, not that I can put him on the air, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Well, basically, go ahead and tell a story, Larry.
Well, apparently, and this is from the straight off the state of Tennessee website, Reno Riggins has trademarked the name Southern All-Star Wrestling. And in turn, it appears that T.J. Weatherby, the promoter of Southern All-Star Wrestling, had at least started the process of trademarking the name Showtime All-Star Wrestling. Trent, I'll turn it to you to sort of fill in what your conjectures are about what's going on here.
Well, my understanding is Marcus Pastorius, who was on this show, is running another Nashville Fairgrounds tribute show on May 14th featuring the Rock and Roll Express against the Midnight Express. And he ran a show in January, which was called Saw, which he ran under T.J. Weatherby's Southern All-Star banner. And apparently this is what caused Riggins to trademark the name, was he didn't want Pastorius running the fairgrounds under the Saw name. That's the way I understand it. So I don't know if Weatherby and them, you know, filing paperwork on the Showtime All-Star Wrestling name was a, you know, was an answer to that or what. But that's the way I understand it. It was Riggins. It wasn't so much about Weatherby. It was more about Pastorius, the way I understood it.
And hopefully we'll get directly, and as I mentioned, Reno was just calling back. He had tried me earlier and missed me to clarify exactly what's going on. And I also did try to reach Weatherby directly, but by calling the number that was associated with the registration of the trademark on the state website. However, when I reached that number, the person answering said they knew T.J. Weatherby. In fact, he was a family member, but they had no contact with him and had no way of and had no phone number for him. So I was out of luck there as far as actually getting Weatherby's comments on what this was all about.
Yeah, it's hey, welcome to Nashville. We got two promotions with the same call letters, SAW, and now they're trying to trademark each other's names. Welcome to Nashville, kids.
Yeah, and it's funny with that going on with a somewhat similar situation in Georgia with our old friend Moose Lewis trademarking the name Georgia Championship Wrestling. While Grady Odom actually owns the company name Georgia Championship Wrestling, but does not own the trademark.
Yeah, Don Lewis did that a long time ago, man. That dude is heat. He's got so many names under trademark right now. It's almost a must that you create your own fucking call letters.
Yeah, I mean, I called him up, and in the conversation, he was saying, yeah, he also has the trademark for World Class Championship Wrestling.
He has
the state of Georgia.
He has the state of Georgia, right?
It's just like he goes online and see what companies aren't doing business anymore, and he'll say he trademarked the name just in case anybody tries to come up and make a name off of it again or whatever. He's going to get his money.
Well, I don't know how it works in Georgia, but as far as a state trademark in Tennessee, I understand, is around $25, you know, so it's pretty expensive to do that if you want to do that. In Georgia, maybe different. I don't know.
No, you're right. In Georgia, it's very cheap. I want to say $15, and then you get the trademark for 10 years for paying $15.
Yeah.
And as Moose explained to me, he has a curio shop down here in Atlanta, and he sells merchandise, Georgia Championship Wrestling merchandise, world-class merchandise. I mean, not a lot of it, but he does sell it, so he can demonstrate that he has prior use of the trademark, or at least that's what his claim is.
I also understand if you want to get a federal trademark, that is much more expensive.
That's
like a couple
another story.
Grand, you know, yeah. So.
We need to get the Moose on the show and ask him about the All-White Basketball League failure.
I would love to have the Moose on the show.
Well, I asked him, and he declined, but I'll tell you.
Because I was on it
probably. He kind of indicated that the All-White Basketball League was kind of a publicity stunt.
But I
did invite him to come on the show, and he declined. Man, I'd love to. I agree. I think it'd be a fascinating interview.
Let me call him tomorrow.
I was going to say, Larry, did you drop Murder One's name? That was your ticket right there, brother.
You know, I did not do that, no.
Yeah, you should have.
You got to learn, Larry. When in Rome, use my name.
Exactly.
I guess it's
it's that time. It's that time. Let's bring him on.
Oh, great! Awesome!
He doesn't like the intro music. I guess I should skip the intro music, huh?
Well, by the way, Dave and Danger used it last week for a commercial. They stole the gimmick.
We need to just come up with better music.
Yeah, you know, Charles is a music fan. You ought to see what music he likes.
Actually, I see that the music apparently has been removed. So I guess. No, there it is. There it is.
Oh, God, here's the sound. Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Hey, yeah.
Fans, this is Charles Hernandez, a.k.a. Chicken Hat, and this is The Bottom Line. Now, I would like to make a little comment. Last Saturday night, I was exiting one of the wrestling local venues, and one of the fans was claiming that the matches, well, sucked. This led to a certain promoter telling him that he should blame another one who was promoting it. And, well, honestly, that really turned me off. I mean, I know that sometimes promoters tend to be a little competitive, but where I live, it gets kind of ridiculous, especially one that usually goes there. What I don't understand is why can't they just get along? I mean, it makes them look, well, stupid. It does. But anyway, now I like to say I saw Lockdown last night, and it was pretty good, especially when the surprise return of AJ Styles. I mean, no one expected him to be there, even I would. Although I do wish I were in Cincinnati, I'd be having fun. However, that's neither here nor there. Well, anyway, I found it real pleasant last night, and I wonder what's going to happen when they return to Universal Orlando. However, I won't know that until at least Friday when I see the tape. And hopefully this time I'll remember to turn on the tape. Anyway. And, of course, while I'm thinking about it, one more little thing here. This past Monday, I did see the encore of Raw as AM Raw. I didn't see it because the last two Mondays, right when they were getting climactic, the power at my place goes off. I mean, if there's anything more irritating than bad wrestling angles is the power going off when it gets good. Well, hopefully, well, we don't have storms this time. Hopefully I get to see Raw in its entirety. Well, anyway, that's all I have. And until next time, this is Charles Chicken Hernandez, and that is the bottom line.
What happened to Stay Classic Planet Earth?
Yeah, Stay Classic Planet Earth.
I'm doing commentary, not the X-Files.
Say it, Charles. Come on. We had a deal. Stay Classy Planet Earth.
What?
Say the new call thing. Stay Classy Planet Earth. Say it.
Stay Classy Planet Earth. Especially if you're in the ring. Okay,
yeah.
You happy now?
I'm very happy now. I was informed that I get to give you a topic that you get to break down in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it better be tasteful.
It'll be tasteful.
It is tasteful. Very tasteful. Probably the most tasteful thing I'm ever going to see on this show.
Oh, really? I've heard part of your show so far, and it hasn't really been that tasteful.
Well, I really don't care what you think, but I'm going to give it to you tasteful. Chicken Man, I would like to know, if you were a wrestling god, you know, you could make your own mountains and stuff and your own wrestling rings just by snapping your finger, how would you fix pro wrestling?
Ooh. Oh.
Straight from the mouth of Professor Vernon.
Oh, that's something for me to think about there.
Yeah,
outstanding.
Judging from what I've been seeing so far, there are a lot of issues that I would love to address.
Wait. Save that for next week. No, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Two weeks. So enlighten us, Charles, in 2 weeks.
Well,
okay.
Get your teleprompter going, because it's a good one.
Hey, Larry.
Go.
Yeah.
Just real quick, Twinkle Toes Charles, I heard from a very reliable source that you got into some kind of a tizzy Saturday night at the all-ladies show because they did not allow you to open and close the show. Is that true? Tell me what happened real fast.
Well, what happened was, usually when the promoter has me doing the show, I usually do the intros for the national anthem and the good nights.
Right.
However, on this night, they left it to the regular announcer, which really didn't sit well with me. I was pretty upset. I think maybe they were trying to punish me. I don't know. I never asked.
Well, I heard you were pouting.
No, I was just plain upset. I let them know in no uncertain terms.
Did you cry?
No.
Okay.
No, but
that
he made a scene.
Me look
he made,
stupid.
He made a scene, though.
Did you
throw no more than I usually do when I get a little upset. Well, not, well, they didn't have to hold me back, but...
Oh,
did your feathers get ruffled?
Something like that, yes.
Charles, we gotta go. And you may want to hold on. We got a wrestling legend coming on the show here in just a second.
All right, thank you, Charles.
Oh, really?
See you in 2 weeks. Yep, sure do.
All right.
Don't let me down, Charles.
And from the ridiculous to the sublime, we're joined now by a true wrestling legend, the one and only assassin, Joe Hamilton. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
You know, we exchanged some messages earlier today regarding a situation that came up over the weekend at the old school wrestling show in Barnesville, Georgia.
There was nothing old school about that show. as far as that person that's promoting that the shows in Barnesville, he can call it old school all he wants and everything, but I'm surprised he can even spell it right. Yeah, that's about all he knows about old school. He's as far from old school as you could possibly get. You know, let me put it this way. Out of all the people in the wrestling industry that I do respect, he ain't one of them.
Well, this gentleman's name, as I understand it, is Joey Roberts, who wrestles under
And
as the story goes, he had both an imposter assassin and an imposter Mr. Wrestling number two.
Probably.
Probably.
Anytime he gets in the ring, he's an impersonating a wrestler anyway, so that makes him an imposter too.
I don't think this. I think this is a repeat performance for the imposter assassin out there as well. I think.
Yeah,
he's done
I think
it
so.
Before.
Yeah, probably is. You know, and then the person that's doing it, I don't know who it is. I don't really care, but it's obviously somebody that is trying to capitalize on somebody else's career and the things that I have accomplished in my career and so on, and they would never be able to accomplish because they either have no ability whatsoever or they don't have enough sense to realize that when you imitate somebody or you copy somebody and everything, all you're ever going to be is second best. You're never going to be as good as the original. And it's, you know, and that not only goes for me, but that goes for anybody that's trying to impersonate wrestling, too, because there was only one Mr. Wrestling Number 2, and there's only one assassin. And anybody that goes around trying to imitate us or trying to duplicate us and so on, it's quite an old phrase that that we have in wrestling and everything, they're just sucking high and tit.
And Larry, if I understand it right, the imposter assassin was like half the size of Mr. Hamilton. Is that true? If that?
That's the way I heard it, yes. That at least the Mr. Wrestling 2 imposter looked about the right size. And I mean, basically, it was a guy with a mask and a Hawaiian shirt. But that the assassin imposter was not even anywhere close physically in size to Mr. Hamilton.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. You know, they it's kind of prevalent in some of the independents. You know, now don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking independents because I think independents play a very valuable and very important part in a wrestling industry. However, certain types of independents and everything, they're a boring waste of time, effort, and energy. And anybody that that pays their money to go see one of their productions and everything, they're being duped out of their money because they don't present the people that they advertise on the cards and everything. And so, to me, they're imposters too. They're impersonating a legitimate promoter.
Well, this is the same promoter who last year put out a poster with Batista, who was actually turned out to be a guy named Jay Batista from North Carolina, and with the Ultimate Warrior, who was another, you know, fake guy, and mm-hmm. you know, so I mean, it's not, it's this. I guess he has a habit of doing this. One might say.
Well, I mean, this is not the first time he's done that, and it's certainly not, and it probably won't be the last. You know, but I'm sure that by now that most of the people in that area that that pay their hard-earned money to go see some of the stars that he advertises, then when they get there, they realize that they've been duped and out of their money and so on. By now, they ought to be getting pretty wise to the game, or this guy's game at least, and not going for it.
Well, they don't care. My understanding is that he legitimately had, although the website listed like something like 600 people, that legitimately there were 300 or 400 in attendance. So he did get some folks out there.
Well, I mean, 300 or 400, depending on what size the building was, of course, and everything. But 300 or 400 is not a what you'd call a real money making turnout, especially when you've got the types of names on the card that this guy was supposed to have on there. Had he had those people on the card and so on, a 200 or 300 turnout crowd, to me, would be shocking. And it would certainly be a money loser because of the money you'd have to pay the real names.
And in fairness, I will say that my understanding is that Manny Fernandez was booked, and he was there. So he did produce Manny Fernandez as advertised.
How many people in the state of Georgia know who Manny Fernandez is?
Probably in this day and age, not many, I would think.
No, they never did. He was, what little time he spent here, he wasn't a big card by any stretch of the imagination. And that's not a knock to Manny. I mean, some guys get over some places, some guys don't, you know. And this is one of the places. He was over big in Florida. He was a big name in Florida at one time, but that's Florida. This is Georgia.
Trent, did you have want to ask a question?
Yeah, just a couple questions. So Mr. Hamilton, like back in the day, Memphis had assassins, Indianapolis had assassins back in the day. Now, when you were active as a wrestler, were there problems with other people using that name back in the day, or did offices call and ask at times if they could use that name, or how did that work?
No, they didn't. And did you mention Memphis?
Yes.
What about Memphis?
There was like the assassins there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was Roger Smith and Randy Colley and everything, and both those guys were friends of mine. You know, but they decided, I don't know if they collectively, between the two of them, decided to go ahead and team up and use the name of the assassins, or if it was the office up there. More than likely, it was Jerry Lawler and the office and everything up there, because they were always doing something like that, you know. But that's why for years and years and years, the Tennessee territory was considered a joke and everything. Anybody that couldn't get booked in what they call legitimate territories and everything, they all ended up in Tennessee. And it was because of they did stuff like that, you know. They had no respect for the business. They had really no respect for the people that were names in this business and everything, and they had no qualms about trying to steal guys' names or using guys' names that had earned reputations elsewhere around the country.
And it happened up in Bruiser's territory, too. I think it was Joe Tommaso and Guy Mitchell were the assassins at one time up there.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah. So the assassins, the team of the assassins is probably the most imitated tag team combination in the history of wrestling. You know, there's been a bogus team of the assassins in just about every territory in the country back in the days when there were territories. Let me say this too: territories like Georgia, territories like Florida, South Florida, when Florida Championship Wrestling territory, the Carolinas, and places like that that had really legitimate territories run by legitimate promoters and everything, they would never allow anything like that to happen. And I'm not just talking about they would never allow anybody to take the name of the assassins. They wouldn't allow anybody to capitalize off of somebody else's name just because they had made it big in the business.
Yeah. Let me ask you something that's maybe a little more controversial real quick, if I could. A few months ago, you had thrown your support behind Ron Gossett, you know, who's been accused of doing shady stuff, kind of like this, advertising names that weren't going to appear and stuff like that. What was behind that?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I always, you know, I'm certainly not opposed, like I was telling you earlier, I'm certainly not opposed to independent promotions. As a matter of fact, I think they play a very crucial role in the future of the wrestling business. And contrary to what everybody said, and contrary to what a lot of people had told me or did tell me about the guy and so on, about him not being reliable and him not paying guys and this and that and so on, I cannot say that about him, because I got everything that we ever agreed on or ever talked about and all the financial arrangements that we agreed on and everything, he paid me and my son Nick. Paid us right down to the penny. And so consequently, in that regard, I can't say anything about him. He's called me a couple of times and was telling me that he was going to run here and run there and so on, that he'd be back in touch and everything. Never got back in touch, okay, and the shows never took place and so on. So I don't know, you know, I know that the guy has to be an unreliable individual. But there again, going back to how he has treated me and treated my son and so on, I can't say anything bad about the guy because he lived up to our bargain, to the letter.
Yeah, that's understandable. But he was putting names on his posters that were not going to be there.
you know, he was doing that for a while.
He did what?
He was putting names of stars on his posters that were not going to appear, and maybe one would appear, but he would have Honky Tonk Man, Ultimate Warrior, this guy.
He had me. Yeah, I understand that. And one of the shows that I was on that he actually drew about, he actually drew over 1,500 people paid at one of the McDonough shows. And he had a couple of big names on there, and one of them, two of them didn't show up. But I do know that he had made financial arrangements with those guys to come in. And I do know that he paid one guy half of his money in advance that never showed up.
Hmm.
So, I mean, everybody, when a guy like that promotes, advertises people and they don't show up, the first thing that happens is, well, you promoted the show and you knew that you didn't have these guys booked to start with, and you were just trying to use their names, you know. That's a lot different. You know, booking guys and having guys book and then the guys not showing up is a lot different than having imposters down there like this guy down in Barnesville. There's a big difference there. And there again, I'm not holding up for Gossett. All I'm saying is that as far as I'm concerned, he and I are even, because he paid me to the penny every dime that I had coming, and also, like I was telling you, also my son. So, you know, until something happens to change that and everything, I can't say anything bad about him. And I know that he's got a bad reputation. I understand that, and so on. But I learned very, very early in my career, and my career spans back to I started in this business in 1956. So, you know, we're going back a long, long way. And I learned very early in my career, and I was taught this by an old-timer. He said, boy, let me tell you something. He said, as you go through this business and go through your career in this business, he said, you're going to hear a lot of things about a lot of people, and you're going to hear about these guys' reputations as this and reputations of that. He said, forget about what you hear. He says, you judge that individual by the way they treat you. And that's all I can go by. You know, and I've tried to live my entire life that way, and certainly throughout my career that way. And by doing that, then I have to put myself in a position where I have to say that I can't say anything bad about the guy, because he was straight with me. You know, if he hadn't been straight with other people and everything, that's between him and other people. But as far as I'm concerned, he was straight with me.
Well, thanks for explaining it, because we talked about it on the show months ago, and we just wondered what was up. Hey, Larry, have I got time for two more questions real quick with Mr. Hamilton?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is a thrill talking to you, sir. What is the status of your second book, a book about stories, world stories and stuff? When it comes out, I'm going to buy it.
Well, I'm right now I'm in negotiations with some people to get it published and so on, and when that happens, I'll contact everybody and let them know that it's going to be on the market.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll be able to do it again with Scott, but I'm not sure that Scott's got the time to do it now. So I might have to go another direction with it.
And,
but I think it's going to
be
a good book. It's interesting. What it is I can give you a brief outline of it if you got a second. I've got big names, small names, names that people never heard of, a lot of people never heard of, and so on. But names that I knew and were intertwined with me and my career, and so on. And there's like 55 or 57, I think there is now, like short stories, and they're all true stories that I know that are true because I was there. I lived through it, you know, and it was, some of them are funny, some of them are sad, some of them are dramatic, and so on, but every damn one of them is true. And that's one of the things that I think helped the sales of my first book and everything, because everything in there was true, and I didn't try to make that book sound like I was the only guy that ever drew a dime in professional wrestling. And, you know, it was more or less, my first book was more or less about just about me as a person and my career in the business. So, anyway, I didn't write the book, either one of them. I didn't write either one of these things to try to help glorify myself and so on, because, first of all, I'm not that type of person anyway. I don't think I am anyway. I'm proud of what I've done and so on, but I think I pretty well kept my ego under control.
Well, I bought your first book and read it and loved it, and looking forward to the second. My last question real quick is, are you watching the new season of Tough Enough, and if so, what do you think of it?
I think it's the worst ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. People tune in to see Stone Cold Steve Austin. They don't tune in to see the philosopher and the teacher and this and that, which he's a lousy teacher. And none of these, all these people are forgetting about their about what got them there, and that's the character that they all assumed. You know, even right down to Bill DeMott. And Bill and I are good, and I'm good friends with all these people. But they're all so damn busy trying to be Shakespearean actors in front of the damn camera that they're forgetting to be their character. And that's what's, to me, that's what's killing the show. Nobody tunes in. Nobody tunes in to see a bunch of jocks trying to be Shakespearean actors because there's a damn camera around. You know, people tune in to see wrestling characters, and none of these guys are in character.
Well, the thing is so heavily edited, it's hard to tell what's going on some of the time.
So, well, to me, that's because it's so poorly scripted. You know, and my God, I don't know who was on the selection committee to select the contestants for that thing and everything, but if it was up to me, I'd fire their ass right in a hurry because they selected the worst talent I could possibly see. And here's another thing, you know, and I'll point this out real quick. If all these guys, if Steve Austin and Bill DeMott and Trish Stratus and, my God, Booker T of all people, if they're all such great gurus of wrestling and such great trainers and everything, why is it that out of all those contestants, the only one that I've seen that could even come close to running the ropes right was one guy. One guy out of that whole damn bunch. So if they can't teach the basic fundamentals, for crying out loud, how in the hell are they going to teach the hard things? Gee whiz.
I'll tell you, too, and I'm not a wrestler, but I've noticed that since they started doing the training in Florida, the guys run the ropes weird. They just look weird running the ropes than the new guys do now to me for some reason. I don't know what their training is, but it looks strange.
Well, like I said, running the ropes is one of the basic fundamentals. You know, if you can't teach somebody to run the ropes properly, if they can't learn to run the ropes properly, of course, learning to run the ropes properly comes from teaching them properly. And if these guys ain't teaching them properly, and it's damn obvious to me that they're not being taught properly, because, like I said, out of that whole group, only had one, and he wasn't doing it perfect. He was doing it half-assed, you know. So, I mean, what gives these people the right to be able to train or be able to judge or to be able to do anything else, you know? The whole show, to me, is a farce. It's like a spoof on reality shows. And any wrestling fan that's tuning in to expecting to see some wrestling reality and everything, they got to be bitterly disappointed because the show is a joke.
The reality show that, a form of reality show that Deep South had on MAV TV was far better.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about what you said about being in the business since 1956, 55 years. Boy, it must be, can you even recognize the wrestling business that as it was then compared to the wrestling business as it is today?
No, there's of course, everything changes. And while I was active in the business, I saw changes going on all the time in the business and everything. Some of them were for the better. Some of them I didn't particularly care for, just like I don't dislike everything about the wrestling business today. The biggest thing that I dislike about the wrestling business today is the fact that there are no longer territories, that it's run by one basically by one major organization, and they dictate what the fans are going to have to watch and everything. And if you don't watch their show, I mean, what do you got? You got you got WWE, you got three or four of their shows, two or three of them, I guess, three shows, I guess they got. And then now they've got this monstrosity they call Tough Enough. And then you've got another piss poor imitation of a professional wrestling show called TNA, you know, and it's run by the same people that murdered WCW. So I mean, my God, what do the fans have to really? What do they have to choose from? They don't have the variety of things, you know, like they had years ago. And my God, guys don't have the opportunities like they had years ago. You know, if you didn't like what was going on in one place and everything, you told them to kiss your ass and you picked up the phone and you went somewhere else. It was simple as that, you know, because you had 35 territories around the world, around the country, I should say, between here and Canada, that you could go to. But not anymore. You got one, maybe two, one and a half, we'll put it that way, because TNA is, they're not even in the same ballpark with WWE. As far as size and stuff is concerned, size and strength,
and no variety of styles to be exposed to. It's the one style. It's the WWE style.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, you've got whatever they're cooking in the kitchen at the moment is what they're going to feed the fans, and they're going and in most cases they're force feeding the fans because. Their talent roster, with the exception of a few of the old-timers that they got up there, when I say old-timers, I'm talking about guys like Triple H and Undertaker and, of course, Heartbreak Kid now is retired and so on. But guys like that, guys that know the business and guys that are still great performers in the ring and so on, you know, they so far overshadow the John Cena's and everything. John Cena, as far as the ring skills is concerned and everything, is he's out in left field with it, you know. I mean, he has very limited ring skills. He's good on the stick, on the mic, and all that, and he can talk his ass off and everything. But when you're in the ring, you got to perform. You can't, you know. The talking stops when the bell rings. And I think the whole WWE roster right now, as far as hard-nosed, grinded out in the ring wrestlers are concerned, they don't have any. They're gone. WrestleMania was an abortion. You know, they had one. They had one match on the entire WrestleMania card that to me was worthy of a WrestleMania billing of what the image or that would live up to the image of what WrestleMania is supposed to be all about and everything, and that was Triple H and Undertaker. You know, you had a great combination of old school psychology mixed with some of the young modern day bumps and so on, and they went out there and they told the story and they sold the story and they had the people sitting on the edge of their chairs for the whole damn match, and they were the only match on the whole damn card that could do that. And it's a shame that these companies don't bother to. Of course, they don't know themselves. You know, the people that are running these companies, they don't know what they don't know a wrist lock from a padlock, for Christ's sake. they don't. And all they're out there doing is we're going to have it's show business, it's entertainment. You know what happened to the grinded out competitive style of wrestling and everything. You know that's what. You know, and they're catering now because they're showing a lot of TNA on the, I'm not saying TNA, I'm saying T&A. They're showing a lot of that because of all the girls that they've got up there and so on and so forth and everything. But everything is an overkill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you've seen 15 good-looking girls, after the first four or five good-looking girls, the rest of them aren't nearly as impressive. You know, even though they're just as good-looking as the first five, you've already seen it. It's an overkill, and that's the same way with the styles of everybody that they got up there now. You know, my God, and the characters that they're using up there are just most of their characters are so damn unbelievable that it's ridiculous.
Well, it's not wrestling; it's entertainment, is what they say. They took the wrestling out of it.
Well, that's my point. And they're catering to the male crowd, 18 to 35, because everybody knows that 18 to 35 has got more money to spend than any other age group. Okay. However, the 18 to 35 crowd, they're fad followers. And right now, wrestling happens to be the fad that they're following. But let another fad catch their eye and everything, and they'll drop wrestling like a hot potato and go right on following some other fad. But you take
the pay-per-view numbers would reflect that they largely already have and have migrated to MMA and have, you know, in fairly large numbers abandoned.
Yeah, well, the wrestling fans that we established back in my era and the eras prior to that and so on that flowed over into my era, and so on. Those people were hard-nosed, die-hard wrestling fans. You show me a heel in wrestling today. You show me one heel in wrestling today that's got heat. And I'm not talking about the old boo, you're a bad guy type heat. I'm talking about heat where the people actually want to try to cut you or hit you or shoot you or things like that. These guys, the heels of today, don't know what the hell that kind of heat is because they don't have it. They don't know how to get it. They're not allowed to get it. Everything is showbiz orientated, you know. And you got Vince running all these, making all these movies and everything. They're all trying to break into Hollywood and everything. But what he doesn't know, he may have a lot of money, but he didn't have as much money as Howard Hughes has got. And Howard Hughes couldn't break the goddamn barrier out there in Hollywood. They're always going to be outsiders. He ain't never going to break through out in Hollywood and be part of the Hollywood clique. You know,
hey,
I don't
Joe, one more thing before we let you go. You know, I just wonder what you – I know you had The Miz in Deep South and what your thoughts are of seeing The Miz, you know, on top now in WWE.
Well, I'm – you know, I have mixed emotions about – the fact that that I trained him and so on, but I didn't train the Miz that you're looking at today. I trained the Miz that I trained and everything was a solid ring performer. This guy out there today and everything is trying to be a jack of all trades, you know. And I personally realize that he is doing what he's told. And he's portraying the character that they have molded around him. But when this guy was at Deep South, I'm telling you for sure, this guy was a stone-cold, die-hard babyface, and he was a babe magnet, brother. And I noticed now that's what I nicknamed him, the babe magnet, and I noticed now that they carried that over up there at WWE and so on. But the first thing that they did, because I think it was because he was a babyface with Deep South and everything, first thing they did when he took him up there was turn him heel and everything. And that boy should never be a heel. He should be a babyface. You know. But anyway, I'm glad. I like Miz. I think he's a good kid, and he's just to hell with it. He's a smart kid. He's along for the ride. If that's what they want out of him, then that's what he's going to do the best he can to give them exactly what they want, not exactly what he thinks is right or what he knows is right.
Mr. Hamilton, thanks a lot. Appreciate you giving us the time tonight and giving us your take on so many different things during this time.
No, that's fine. I'm glad to be able to do it. Glad you invited me.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Wow. You see, that was wrestling school for me. Wow. That's why I didn't say nothing.
Wow.
Everything that man speaks is just truth. When he tightened up my game when I went down to Deep South, he showed me those things that, you know what I'm saying, about the heel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The little things, you know what I'm saying? That's all I can do is listen, bro.
Another
man with passion.
Were you going to piss him off? I think he was about to piss him off, Trent, with one of them questions.
Well, I was just going to say, I got to admit, I was nervous as hell asking that Ronnie Gossett question, but I got it out. But
yeah,
I was
you
nervous.
Did. You held your balls, but I thought you was about to get one of those world-famous cussings that he's known for.
Well, I thought it was a fair question, but I was like, man, I can't. Right before I asked it, my heart was pounding, man, just pounded. Go ahead, Larry. Woo! I need a cigarette now. Don't even smoke.
Well, I'm going to bring on our featured guest. We're very pleased to have with us tonight the owner of Rampage Pro Wrestling in Warner Robins, Georgia. Probably at this point would be clearly considered Georgia's premier wrestling promotion. We're pleased to have with us on Phoning It In, Dr. Johnny Gayton. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Fine.
I heard some of the comments from Joe Hamilton. You know, he is a brilliant individual, and I have to say, when I was a child, I saw him and his partner, Tom Renesto, generate a lot of that heat that he was talking about. I mean, there were many a time that he almost caused a riot. So he knew how to generate heat.
Well, since you brought that up, when did you first start going to wrestling? When and where and what did you first see when you went to wrestling in Georgia?
Well, the first match that I went to see was after the professional, Doug Gilbert, was coming back from an injury to take on the Assassin. And so it was a sellout crowd, and we ended up buying tickets from a scalper, and we were able to get in, and it was an amazing experience. But my love for wrestling actually came from my dad. My dad was a big wrestling fan, and so he introduced it to me at an early age. In fact, we didn't even have a television. As I've said before, Murder and I have something in common. We both came from the wrong side of town. We didn't have inside plumbing. We didn't have a television. When the wind blew on the outside, you knew it on the inside. But we would go over to my granddad's house and watch Live Atlanta Wrestling on Channel 11. And my dad would tell me all the stories about a lot of the old greats. And then as I grew older and went into college and medical school, it was something that he and I kept in common and were able to enjoy together right up until his death almost 2 years ago. But as Murder can tell you, he came out. He even participated in one of the events where Crew Jones was trying to insult him. So it was a neat experience to be able to do that. And, in fact, the card that's coming up May 1st is Memorial Mayhem, and it's actually Gene Gayton Memorial Mayhem named in his honor.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in North Georgia in Acworth.
It was
a very small community. It was a dirt road when I was first there, and of course now it's a bedroom community of Atlanta, but it was a small town of approximately 3,200 people. And in fact, I would frequently tell people when they asked me where I was from, I'd say I'm from L.A., and of course they knew with my accent that didn't mean Los Angeles, and of course I'd say it Little Acworth, Georgia. But I'm proud to be from there. It was a small community, but a lot of good people there, and had the opportunity to come out of there, get an education, and then going into medicine. But I kept my love for wrestling. In fact, a lot of people don't know this. I actually had a tryout with the old Crockett promotion and ended up, they told me I was too small. And, you know, at that time I was having trouble lifting a whole lot because of my small hands. I really couldn't get enough of a grip on the bar. But over the years, continuing to exercise, even not being able to reach around the bar, I got to where I could lift a good bit of weight.
And established some records in that regard, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, in fact, I established some records that are still standing, from what I understand, Georgia ones, national ones, and even world ones. I guess a lot of people, when they hit 50, they kind of flounder around wondering what they're going to do. And I was thinking, you know, I've always wanted to win a world title in some type of competition. And I knew from traveling around the world lecturing and working out in a lot of different gyms that I was relatively strong. And so I entered a competition actually just north of Atlanta in Duluth. And believe it or not, I actually left early because, you know, I thought it was all over. And they come bringing medals into my office on Monday. It turned out I'd won. And didn't even realize I'd won.
Hey, can you give us the specifics of the world record that that you hold?
What the record that I actually hold is a record for the squat at my age and weight. It was 455 pounds. And I also set a national record for deadlifting 255 pounds at 170 pound body weight, and I actually did it 27 times. And there was some 20-year-old, 20 and 30-year-old people in the competition, and none of them were able to hit it that many times. I was very fortunate, but I can tell you, I didn't think I would ever get my breath back after that. Then I actually set a national record in the deadlift, regardless of age, in Six Lakes, Michigan. I set a 465-pound raw deadlift, and somebody eventually broke it at my body weight in the younger age category, but it still stands in the age 50 and above category. So there's a fair number of those records that are still holding out there. My best bench press was 325. My best squat was 455. As far as full squat, I've actually done 600 pounds, not full squat. And then I did a 485-pound deadlift. And I actually have a T-shirt that says, "No, I'm not on steroids, but thanks for asking," because so many people are thinking I must have been on steroids.
Dr. Gayden, if you don't mind, Jimmy Rave was not able to call in earlier, and he's on the line now, and he was going to talk
sure.
a little bit about Larry Sweeney. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to bring him on, and we're going to do that, and then come back to you. Is that all right with you?
That sounds just fine.
All right. I mean, let's see here. The old switchboard didn't seem to want to cry. There we go. Jimmy.
Hey, what's up, Larry?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You're on with Dr. Gayden, Murder One, Tran Van Dries. We're all here, and I appreciate that you wanted to talk a little bit about Larry Sweeney and so forth, and the unfortunate his unfortunate death.
Yeah. I got to spend a lot of time with Larry, and one of the things that kind of bothered me about the whole situation is like, you know, he had his problems with at Ring of Honor, and like in around 2008, 2009. And, you know, I don't think a lot, you know, the wrestling media really got into him because they didn't really understand his condition of being bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, it just saddens me that, you know, like, here's a guy that could have been, you know, helped out and you know, really loved pro wrestling, like, just absolutely loved it. You know, he never claimed to be the best wrestler in the world or like, you know, this, you know, phenom or anything like that, but... You know, in his own way, he was, because, you know, like, he was constantly entertaining and just an amazing person, an amazing performer.
Yeah,
but
I had the opportunity to just meet him one time when he came down and wrestled at a Deep South, at IWA Deep South show, and you know, come to find out he grew up a couple miles away from where I did. And, you know, in reading about the things that happened with him in Ring of Honor, it was pretty clear. Well, I mean, if he wasn't on drugs, that he had probably a bipolar disorder. And I don't. Do you know? Did he get any treatment for his illness?
I think he was being treated, and I believe he had just came off of his medication. You know, and I'm not positive of, you know, all the circumstances around it. You know, like, but I had seen him a good number of times because he would often come backstage at the Ring of Honor shows or some of the other shows I was doing up north in like 2009, 2010. So I still got to be around him a lot. You know, and he, you know, like, even through all that stuff, you know, he was still a guy that like wore the biggest smile ever. You know, and just, you know, enjoyed. Were you at the Deep South show where he wrestled Brad Armstrong?
I believe so. Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, he absolutely loved, you know, like being around, you know, like when we were in FIP and he wrestled Jake Roberts. You know, I mean, like, he was living his dream. You know, like, and he, you know, it's just such a like a you know, all the deaths that, you know, like, of guys that I've been around and worked with, like JC Bailey and Trent Acid, they're all like, you know, very shocking, and like it sucks, and I hate that it happens, but this one with Larry, like, you know, really hit home with me, just because I knew, you know, that he, you know, he still had so much to offer, and, you know, he wasn't out there like, you know, trying to, you know, burn bridges or destroy anything. He was, you know, he was living with a condition that I don't think many people understood.
Mm-hmm. He was back working indies, wasn't he? At least just prior to when he died.
Yeah. You know, and he would always like, you know, like, he would always pop up on random cards here and there. You know, but and like for a while there, he was talking about running his own shows, I think. And I had no idea what happened with that, but yeah, he was up and running around with some guys, I think in the New Orleans area, and like doing a little bit of training down there too. So, I'm sure like he was trying to get back in the swing of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, the Sourdough has this great story, and about them wrestling each other at one of Speedy Nelson's shows. Have you ever heard this story?
No. Go ahead.
So it might have been the night before that Brad Armstrong match, but they both did the sunset flip spot where they pull your tights down and your ass is hanging out. Well, they did it to each other, so they're both wrestling around for like 10 minutes with just their butt cheeks just hanging out, right? And it got so bad that, you know, the ref is trying to tell them to put, you know, pull their pants up, and the crowd's trying to tell them to pull their pants up. A security guard, like, jumps in the ring and starts pulling their pants up, you know, and it was just, you know, like, that's the kind of guy that, you know, like, you know, that's what I remember Larry, you know, doing. You know what I mean? So,
I remember when he came into Ring of Honor, just being an awesome promo guy, just tremendous promo guy.
Yeah, man, he has such a knack for it, man. Like, like I said, he never claimed to be, you know, the greatest worker or whatever, but like, you know, behind the microphone and like just his character, you know, of, you know, the sweet and sour Larry Sweeney, like, was just amazing. Like, on all those IWA Deep South shows, like, he did commentary. He did a lot of commentary for Chikara and some other IWA stuff. But he was just, you know, like, he could talk with the best of them, you know. And, like, I remember watching a King of the Trios tournament where him and Akeem did a, you know, a strut off. And, oh, man, it's just, you know, like, he was just a guy that just loved pro wrestling and just, you know, like, fun guy to be around, and never bugged you with his, you know, his problems, you know what I mean? Like, but he was the kind of guy, and like, you don't find this too often in wrestling, like, we all had that common bond of wrestling, you know, but he was one of the kind of guys that you can talk anything about with him, like politics or, you know, just views on the world. And he always had a good opinion and could hold a good conversation.
Did you have any, hear anything or have any idea that he was in the kind of, you know, depression that he obviously must have been in leading up to his death?
No, but we're in a business where, you know, like we put ourselves out there and like there's a lot of pride on the line. So, you know, like I know I've gone through, you know, serious bouts of depression, you know, probably nothing compared to what he has, but, you know, and I've held it in, you know what I mean? So, and just because, like, you know, I've worked with people that had, you know, bipolar disorders, like I know that, you know, if they become manic and, like, just, you know, totally get, you know, taken into it, like, it's very hard for them to come out of it.
Yeah, without, I mean, coming from that profession, with someone gets full-blown manic without medication, it's going to lead to disaster in many cases.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like, and it's a shame, like, you know, like, and it's hearing stories like this, it's just like, man, I really wish he would have just picked up the phone and called, like, you know, somebody, like, you know, whether it was me or, you know, somebody like Chris Hero, who was really close to him, or, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know, like, a lot of these things could probably be prevented with just one phone call, you know?
Yeah, and with proper treatment. So.
Hello.
I think we got a little technical problem here.
Oh.
Murder, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, I lost you for a second there.
Yeah, I accidentally hit the wrong button.
Oh, okay. Anybody else have anything they wanted to ask Jimmy about Larry Sweeney?
No, just some people talking about him. I didn't get to see enough of him, but man, anybody compared to Bobby Heenan, that's about as high a praise as you can get to me. Wow.
Wayne Sauer was a good dude, man.
And I put on my Facebook, like, he's like the kind of guy that I miss about wrestling. Like, you know, he wanted to wrestle on every show he could. He never complained, you know. Just always had the greatest ideas, you know. Just he just wanted to be around the business, and like I find that admirable. Like, he never thought he knew everything, you know. Like, he just wanted to go out there and perform. Like, and like, he could perform with, you know, if you could just give him, you know, two rocks, he could make a great match out of it. You know what I mean? Like, he was one of those guys that was going to make, it was going to be entertaining despite whatever he had to deal with, you know?
Yeah, he's one of those guys who, like, he really had the love for it, and it just came through. You could just see it in his performances that he had that kind of love for it.
Right. And you get somebody with, you know, his charisma and Sal Renaro, and, you know, like, I, like, those are my fondest memories of him and Sal just being in the same room together and just, you know, like, me just tearing up from laughing so hard. But it was always a treat to have, you know, Larry around, you know. And he was just, you know, just an awesome guy, man. Like, you know, I just felt bad, like, you know, the whole thing that was going down in the media was, like, while I was away at TNA, so, like, you know, I didn't get to see it firsthand, you know. And it's just, like, you know, it's another one of those things where, like, nobody could talk to him at the time, you know, but, you know, I was hoping, like, it wouldn't end up to be, you know, something tragic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the one of the tragedies of bipolar disorder. If somebody gets in a severe manic phase, then once it reaches a certain point, there's no reasoning with the person anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like the stories from Houston 2 WrestleManias ago. He was really out of control then, but after that, it seemed like he got better for a while. But I don't know.
Right. Yeah, you know, like, but it, you know, like, no, I always felt like those stories were written with prejudice because, you know, like, they're not taken in, you know, in consideration with the disorder and whatnot. You know what I mean?
It's a person who has an illness, and they're not, and when it gets to that, when it gets full blown, they're no longer able to make rational decisions. Let's say.
Right, and here's my thing about it. Like, you know, I'm obsessive about, you know, just about my career, and like, you know, like I check things out on the internet. You know, I can only imagine what he was having to read, and you know, I'm sure it was not helping anything with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, it's just, you know, this is a business where we're like, we self promote ourselves, and with all that negative press, it couldn't have helped at all, you know. But there was a lot of good dudes that stood by him, you know, like I know Hero and Jimmy Jacobs and guys like that, that just always stood by him, and you know, and I knew it hit those guys like super hard when all this happened.
So. Yeah, unfortunately, it makes me think of Chris Canny in the sense of another wrestler with bipolar that really was struggling and not having proper treatment and you know the outcome there.
Right, and see, he was one of those. Canyon was another guy that, like, you know, like just talking to him or you know, like it, you know, when he was just, you know, like on his medications or not in a manic state, you know, like, you would never know, you know what I mean? Like, he was just a fun-loving dude, like, you know, like, I know Murder One and I used to go to his house and, you know, and they'd have these huge parties back in the day, and, like, I even saw him a few times at FIP, and just, you know, like, it was just one of those things where, like, he always seemed like, you know, like, everything was great in life, but it just goes to show that you don't know what people are really struggling with, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to come on here and you know, and just let you know, because Larry wasn't in Georgia a lot, but anybody that didn't get to see him, you know, like, should go and check out some of his stuff on YouTube, or I know Smart Mark Video has a lot of his stuff on sale. So I mean, like, he was an awesome dude. Like, you know, like, he'll always be remembered for all the great stuff he did, you know. And he did a lot of stuff with Ring of Honor, so, like, you can go and check that out, and then, you know, just remember he was a great dude, like, despite whatever anybody ever said about him on the press.
Jimmy, thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling in tonight.
No problem. You guys take it easy.
Hold it down, Jimmy.
I will.
Crazy, crazy. Are we having technical difficulties again?
No, we're okay now. I think it's been a little bit in and out here, but I think it's all squared away. Dr. Gayton.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to just want to ask you one other question, and I'm going to turn it over to these other guys to get some questions. But we've talked a number of times, of course, and I've just never asked you this. What possessed a, you know, world-renowned eye surgeon to get involved in running a pro wrestling company?
Well,
now we're getting to the good stuff.
That's kind of a tough one, but I have to say a large part of that goes to Jason Cross and AJ Steele.
Uh-huh.
They came to me after I won the World Powerlifting Championship, and they said, you know, we know that you love wrestling, and you now have athletic credibility. And, you know, it'll make people actually come out, and they will believe that you're a pretty strong person because you actually are. And so we started up Rampage Pro Wrestling, and little did I know how tough it would be because of all the politics involved. but we have a real good locker room now. Things are going very well, and if you've noticed, we're getting a lot of television coverage, and so we've made a lot of progress, and it's been challenging. It's also been a lot of fun.
Oh, just that one other thing. I know you just started back on Sundays. Actually, yesterday was your first time back to going back to Sunday TV tapings. I just was wondering, I hadn't heard anything about the show, how that went coming back to Sundays. Did people turn out for it?
Well, we did. We had a reasonable turnout. Not as good as we'd been having on Saturday because it takes a while for people to get oriented to a new time. But to be honest with you, it was a good problem, Larry. Johnny G's, as you know, the Family Fun Center, had gotten so busy that we really were having a hard time accommodating RPW on Saturday. So now that it's on Sunday, I think we're going to be able to devote a lot more attention to making it an excellent show from top to bottom.
Great. Trent, you got some questions?
Go ahead first, Murder One. Go ahead first. I'm just waiting, listening.
Murder One, I would like to make in regards to Larry Sweeney. That is a real severe medical illness. And people need to recognize that, and they really do need to encourage people to not only get treatment, to maintain treatment. This is not a condition that just goes away. And Catherine Zeta-Jones, I think, has increased awareness much more in the general public by seeking out help. But people need to understand that mental illness is just as real as a cataract, as a broken bone, as cancer, heart disease. It is a real illness, and it is not something you're going to be able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's something that you need continual treatment for. And
euphemism chemical imbalance, but these are brain diseases. These are brain illnesses. Bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, that require treatment.
I agree.
Ongoing treatment.
Wow. What you got, Murder One? I'm waiting my turn.
Oh, no, I just want to know, you know, Doc, you got a big one coming up on May 1st. You against the punk-ass judge, career versus mask. And I just want to know if you need any backup or do you have it handled? Because, you know me and AJ, we can run up on him beforehand, you know what I'm saying, take out a wheel or something to make sure the mask comes off and you stay.
Well, you know, Murder, I want this to be an upfront one-on-one between me and the judge. You know, I don't know if you remember when he put that claw on me, he obviously had something on the glove. I had welts on my head for about a week. My scalp had all kind of inflammation and irritation in it, and that is an absolute shoot. And I'm pretty ticked off at this guy, and I plan on making him suffer a bit, like I did this past Sunday. I had the opportunity. They said they're not going to allow chairs in this match. Well, I took the opportunity to wear the judge out with a chair and came pretty close to getting that mask off. But I know you and AJ have my back, man. It's really an interesting alliance. Y'all were two of the toughest people I've ever been in the ring against. But once we formed an alliance, there's been no stopping us. And I definitely believe that you and AJ are going to walk out of Memorial Mayhem the new NWA World Tag Team Champion. I am convinced that that's going to happen. The Dark City is going to reign supreme.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it's already reigning supreme. But see, just like you said with the judge, me and AJ going up against my best friend and his dude, John Davis, it's going to be nothing. We already know what we got to do. And when it's all said and done, whoever's the winner, we still going to be family and we still going to go do our thing.
Let me get this right. Gayton, if you lose, your career's over, right?
If I lose, I will not wrestle again.
Here we go, Larry.
Be still my beating heart.
Dr. Gayton,
I don't know if you know this or not, but I have been on this show for months complaining about your wrestling. Are you aware of this?
Here we go, Larry.
I'm aware that you've had some comments to make. but I actually have to wonder if your body can cash the check your mouth's been writing.
I don't think so.
Well, what does that mean, Dr. Gayton? I am a wrestling fan. I watch professional wrestling. I believe that you are overexposed on that show. You're on there too much. Now, Jimmy Ray was on this show and explained that you are a beloved member of the community there in Warner Robins, and the fans love you and all this and that. But, see, I don't have that connection to you. I'm not from Georgia. So I started watching Rampage Pro Wrestling. My time to watch professional wrestling is very limited. And there's a lot of things to like about Rampage Pro Wrestling. I'm glad it exists. I enjoy it. I think you are on there too much, is my opinion. If you were going to come out and do a match once a year for a special angle, I wouldn't complain. If you were going to be the general manager, I wouldn't complain. If you were even going to be an announcer like you were this past episode with Bill Behrens. You know, I don't know if I'd like that or not full time, but I could live with it. But you in the ring as a wrestler, and I've been watching wrestling since 1971, Dr. Gayton. If you were watching wrestling in Georgia, you didn't see Fred Ward, you know, in the ring. You didn't see Paul Jones in the ring. I grew up watching the AWA, and Vern Gagne owned the promotion, but we didn't know that. We knew Wally Carbo as a promoter. You know, now, hey, it's not just you, Dr. Gayton. I understand that. And I know that you love wrestling. You know, don't miss. I can tell that in your voice that you're a big fan of wrestling. Vince McMahon puts himself on TV. You got all these independent guys putting themselves on the show. So you're a renowned eye surgeon. You got money. You've got a building. You got a show. But you put yourself on the show as a focal point, and that's my issue with it.
I think you've got a legitimate question, but I also have to say because of my involvement, RPW has gotten a tremendous amount of publicity, and that publicity translates into 50 weeks. It also translates into people attending, our promotional things, and it also translates into ratings. As you know, we were the highest-rated locally produced TV show in Middle Georgia when we were on the Fox Network our first time. And now that we're back on, the ratings are climbing quickly, and we're heading right back into that. In fact, there were times in Middle Georgia that we actually were higher rated than TNA and higher rated than SmackDown. So, you know, I mean, I have to tell you, I don't claim to be a great wrestler. I was a pretty decent wrestler years ago when I was an amateur and also when I tried out for Crockett Promotion. But the WWE must recognize a little something because I did get an email in December asking me to consider being on Tough Enough. I turned it down because I am smart enough to realize I'm a little too old to be on it. But it did happen.
Wow, they contacted you.
They contacted me.
That's awesome.
I mean, would you say that you're out there for ego reasons, or what are your reasons for wrestling? I mean, I know you said you are a draw there. I understand that.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
In the past 3 years, I've been the most requested lecturer in the field of ophthalmology. I've lectured all over the world.
Right.
recently named one of the top 250 eye surgeons in the world. I've played on the World Poker Tour. I've won the World Powerlifting Championship. Do you think I need to be out there for ego reasons? Murder has seen my behavior in the locker room. Larry Goodman's seen my behavior in the locker room. I don't lord over the locker room, and I absolutely don't involve myself any more than the booking committee has recommended that I be involved. And in fact, when I offered this, putting my wrestling career on the line, the booking committee tried to talk me out of it. So no, it's not an ego thing. If it was an ego thing, I would have had the RPW Heavyweight Championship, and I would have defeated Bull Buchanan for it. No. And in fact, murder.
Yes.
When my partner and I faced the usual suspects for the RPW Tag Team Championship, who came out of the ring with the Tag Team Championship?
I think it was us.
I think it was, too. And you know, if you look at my record, I've lost many more times than I've won.
I was going to say, now, I've, in fairness to me, not being fairness, I've only been watching since, I guess, October. I've never seen you lose. I mentioned on this show, booking you has got to be booking, like, no mascaras, because, I mean, now there's double count outs, there's claw holds, there's nerve holds and fight, but I've never seen you lose. You went over in that big cage match back in July or whatever that was. I've yet to see you lose one time.
I think you can ask Murder on whether I've lost or not, because Murder's been on the winning side several times when he was against me, and I lost to Frankie Valentine. I lost to Sal Renaro. I lost to several tag team matches against the Cash Vault. I don't think.
I guess it could be said, and I don't want to come off too disrespectful. I mean, I got a lot of respect for you, sir. Don't misunderstand me. But it could be said that the booking committee is putting you in the ring so much because they want you to keep the promotion going as long as you can. I mean, if they put Dixie Carter on TV for same type of reasons, you know.
The promotion's going to keep going whether I'm in the ring or not. And it remains to be seen whether my wrestling career continues or not. It's on the line May 1st, and we will see. But RPW is going to continue on and enjoy great success whether I'm in the ring or not.
Well, in actuality, going back to last summer when you very briefly shut down the company and reopened, it really had to do with backstage turmoil and drama, not really with anything else, correct, as far as like why you even considered shutting it down.
Right, that's exactly right. And a little comment about Fred Ward and Paul Jones. You're commenting about them not being in the ring. I don't believe, now Murder, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe Fred Ward or Paul Jones could deadlift 500 pounds or squat close to 500 pounds like I can still do. And again, I'm not claiming to be a great wrestler, but Murder, wouldn't you say that I'm...
you're an athlete, Doc.
I could hold my own strength-wise with anybody in the locker room. In fact, Prue Jones and I recently did deadlifts together, and I whipped him rather soundly.
You heard it here.
Hey, I didn't know about the World Poker Tour thing. You're an ace poker player as well.
Well, I'm not saying I'm an ace, but I did make the World Poker Tour World Final, and I did make the Aruba Classic. I've won several tournaments, and I've played with a lot of the guys that you see on TV. Larry, one thing about me, one of my goals in life or one of my mottos is whatever I undertake, I try to be the best I can be at it. And when I started out with cataract surgery, I didn't want to be a mediocre cataract surgeon. And the Atlanta paper a few years ago actually had a front page article on me that I had become the highest volume cataract surgeon in the state of Georgia. And it has to do with doing your best in whatever you decide to do. And as Murder can tell you, when we started Rampage Pro Wrestling, it wasn't just to have a little mediocre promotion. We wanted to do the absolute best we could do. And that's the same thing when I decided to try my hand at poker. I didn't want to, you know, just be somebody that could that played around in the neighborhood a little bit or went to play at a cash game once in a while. I decided to take on the best in the world. The same thing with weightlifting.
But to watch you, you don't, I mean, that being said, you don't look like a classically trained pro wrestler to watch you.
Well, I'm definitely not a classically trained pro wrestler. I was a good high school and college wrestler, and in fact, I won several titles. And then when I got a tryout for Crockett Promotions,
right.
I didn't get accepted because of my size. So I never
right.
went through the formal training.
Well, there's no way you can be the best wrestler you can be without that training, though.
I think strength and intestinal fortitude makes up for a lot of training. As Berger commented, he was shocked one time at how quickly and easily I picked him up.
Yeah, he scooped me. I was an utter shock. I was like, wow, this is really happening.
Hey, I'm not saying he's not a strong guy. I've never disputed that. I'm not disputing that.
But look at it like this. Okay. Hulk Hogan was a classically trained wrestler, whatever you said, right?
Hulk Hogan was classically trained by Hiro Matsuda.
And Hulk Hogan sucks.
Well, that's what, yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you talking? Come on now. Okay,
but it's not the same thing because Mr. Gaten never even had the benefit of that training. So if he wants to be the best at that, you know,
he's had some training because not everybody can take a bump and or run the ropes, and you know what I'm saying? And he does that. So somebody had to show him something.
But there's no way Mr. Gaten could be a world-renowned eye surgeon without the proper training. He couldn't achieve that without the training, is my point.
Let me explain something to you. Okay, I have faced the fact, sure, I want to do the best that I can do, but I'm also 55 years old.
Yeah.
And I turned down the invitation for WWE Toughenup. Why did I turn it down? I'm fully cognizant of the fact that I don't need to be taking all of those bumps and training that everybody else is taking. I'll take a bump, you can ask Murder. AJ body slammed me outside the ring, and he didn't have mercy on me. I took a hard body slam.
We mauled the guy.
Am I going to go out and do training where I take bump after bump after bump? No, I'm not going to do that. I have no intention of doing that. But is that going to stop me from wanting to make RPW the best promotion that it can be? And therein is what I'm trying to achieve in wrestling. I'm not trying to be the best wrestler. I'm trying to have the best wrestling promotion in the state of Georgia, and eventually consider expanding outside the Middle Georgia area and possibly even regionally. And that's my goal in wrestling. And I was just trying to give it a good start, give it the benefit of my name and the fact that people in this area were more likely to turn out or tune in because of me being involved. And if that weren't so, the WWE, tough enough, would not have been interested in me. They weren't interested in me as a wrestler. They were interested in me for the same reasons they were interested in Miss USA, not my charm and good looks, but because I'm a world-renowned eye surgeon. That's why they were interested in me, and they thought that it would increase viewership. And that's exactly what RPW and the RPW Booking Committee have taken advantage of as well. And I think, you know, you were talking about interviews earlier. One of the things that I've been able to do is achieve believability in interviews and in in-ring promos, because I believe it myself before I say it. And I think one of the things that drew a lot of attention one time was a verbal altercation between AJ Steele and I. And it created a lot of stir around the community. One time Larry Goodman even wrote an article that he thought I had lost it. Well, in the match where he thought I'd lost it, I think if you go back and look at the video, you'll see that I was under control the whole time. But I'm pretty intense out there. You can ask Murder that.
Yeah, that crossface ain't no joke.
If we could go back to just a second, what you were saying, Dr. Gayton, about the your goals for Rampage, what do you see as the next steps? I mean, during the last year, you brought in Brian Danielson, you made the association with Dragon Gate USA, you've got the highly rated local television show. What do you see as the next things that you want to do with Rampage?
Well, as you know, we are now affiliated with NWA, and what we're wanting to do is try to build our local market to the point where we can have some successful house shows and a little bit larger event. And then I would love to form at least a loose affiliation with some of the other promotions in Georgia where they're able to take advantage of our TV show and TV production and help build up, you know, some more consistent local promotions. But my goals and aspirations certainly don't limit me to stay here in Warner Robins, Georgia, or in Macon, Georgia. We're certainly looking to make the promotion bigger. And as you know, it took 7 years for USC to become profitable. TNA is not profitable now, and we're certainly making the move to where RPW will eventually not only be profitable, it will be much more popular all over the region.
Has being involved in pro wrestling gotten any criticism in the optometrist community?
I'm not an optometrist. I'm an eye surgeon.
Okay. Sorry, eye surgeon. Sorry, sir.
Okay. And indeed, I've had some very positive, and I've had some negative. I've had people criticize it. But let me say, like I said earlier, over the past 3 years, I've become a requested lecturer in the field of ophthalmology. I'm the first ever sellout that they've had for the Los Angeles Society of Ophthalmology meeting. And one of the reasons is all of these eye surgeons love seeing my wrestling videos. I show them a lot of
matches, and they love it. In fact, I think sometimes people come out just to see those rather than hear what I have to talk about.
That's great.
Now, you might wonder what I'm talking about. What happened, Trent and Murder, and Larry, you may not know this, but a few years ago I actually developed some surgical procedures, and it's like a singer with a hit song. Everybody wants to hear you sing it. Well, people want to hear you talk about these type things. In fact, not only am I doing a lot of local things like this, weekend before last I was in Nashville, last weekend I was in New Orleans. I'm headed to Alaska in June, to India in July, Austria in December. So and last year I launched modern cataract surgery in Mongolia and did surgery in Manila, and was in Hong Kong and Macau as well. So, you know, this is not just a little local thing as far as the eye surgery either. And as I go around in these areas, a lot of people are interested in RPW.
So are you like the richest man in town?
Well, we're not.
Let's just put it this way. He is Warner Robins. From my perspective, when we do a parade early in the morning and kids are screaming for Doc Gayton like he's Michael Jackson, it's one of those things, man, that I couldn't believe. You just had to be there to see it.
Well, Murder told me, he said, Doc's got his own posse.
He does.
It's
Warner Robins in Centerville.
It's interesting how many autographs I signed for little kids. In fact, I had this little 5-year-old African-American boy ran up to me a couple of weeks ago and hugged me and said, I love you, Doc Gayton. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that really makes it all worthwhile. When you can do stuff for kids that makes kids happy, and, you know, when I sign autographs, I sign them, Follow Your Dreams, Doc Gayton. And, you know, I encourage these kids that, you know, I was born on the wrong side of the track. I got bullied when I was a child. I've been through some tough times. But by hard work, persistence, the grace of God, I was able to be successful, and you can too.
Hey, let me ask you real quick about the newest episode of Rampage, which I got watched, that you did commentary with Bill Behrens. Dr. Gayton, I watched that episode, and after it was finished, I thought, you know, the Dragon Gate connection was good, great pub for you guys. The wrestling on that show, a lot of the wrestling was really very good, but storyline-wise, I mean, it's like it went off the tracks. Jimmy Rave was getting applauded. I have no idea why Cesar Ronaldo was wrestling Sugar Dunkerton. The finish of J-Rod and Bull Buchanan was strange, to say the least. And so it's like the wrestling was good, but as a show, storyline-wise, I thought it maybe took a backward step there. What's your take on it?
Well, you'll notice, too, that I wasn't on that card. So if it was an ego thing, I would have definitely booked me on the card. Dragon Gate also made the request that we have the matches that we had.
Hmm.
And I think you will see, if you stay tuned in the RPW over the next few weeks, you will see how it all makes You will see that the Dragon Gate matches definitely are going to participate in future events and future developments at RPW.
Okay. Before we let you go, I'd like to run down the card for this May 1 Memorial Mayhem, because it's a heck of a card you guys got put together. Besides Dr. Gayton putting his career on the line versus the mask of the judge,
got the RPW TV title, Jeremy Vane putting his title on the line versus Frankie Valentine. Usual Suspects, of course, versus Dark City Fight Club. Bull Buchanan versus J-Rod for the RPW title, and Jimmy Rave and Kyle Matthews inside a steel cage. With Sal Renard was the special enforcer. That's quite a card.
Oh, it's going to be a great card. I mean, I would buy a ticket just to see that NWA World Tag Team title match. But Bull and J-Rod had quite a match there at Dragon Gate. They're going to continue their contention for the heavyweight title. Vane and Valentine have had some incredible battles. I think that's going to be a great match. I really look forward to that. And I think when Kyle Matthews gets Jimmy Rave inside the steel cage, I believe the outcome will probably be a little bit different from what happened at Dragon Gate.
I might be biased on it, but I think my boy Jimmy Rave is going to pull it out.
Well, he may pull it out, but I tell you, Kyle is giving him a run for his money. As you saw, Jimmy Rave is obviously concerned about Kyle because you saw that attack that he perpetrated on Kyle during that four-way tag team. If he thought he was done with Kyle and wasn't having to worry about him, I think I don't believe that's the case because he certainly injected himself into that four-way that we had to determine who was going to face the Dark City Fight Club.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, like, it's no secret me and Jimmy Rave were family, so, you know, I got to back my family. And for all you know, Jimmy Rave could have been doing me a favor by pulling Kyle out of that match. I'm not going to say nothing, but, you know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I got to pull for my people.
Yeah. But also,
it's all business. You notice that Jimmy Rave hasn't brought his troubles or his problems my way, AJ's way, or your way. You know what I'm saying? He's doing his own thing, and I can't lie. When I see him cheat and do the things that he does in the mind games, it makes me smile because I know that's the stuff that I would do if I was put in those situations. And the apple don't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, I have to say that his boys did a real good job in that four-way. I mean, they were pretty impressive. Murder Jimmy has really turned his game up. He's wrestling as well or better than I've ever seen him wrestle, even when he was with TNA and Ring of Honor. I mean, And in fact, WrestleMania weekend, didn't he wrestle like 6 times?
Yes, he's focused.
I mean, he didn't just wrestle. They were main event quality matches every time. He's a great athlete, no question about it. But Kyle Matthews has really turned his game up. I mean, have you seen how much muscle he's added to his frame? And man, that drop kick looks like he's got steel springs in those legs.
I'm just saying, Doc, Kyle's going to have to bring more than just his A game to topple Jimmy Rave.
It's all fine and dandy, but go, Judge, go. Go, Judge, go.
Oh, wow. You're actually rooting for the judge over the underdog?
He's a full-blown hater, Doc.
If it involves your career, yeah, I got to say, I hope you stick around in some capacity, but if it gets you out of the ring, yes, by God, I'm rooting for the judge.
And let's say this, okay? Let's do this right here, right now. When the Doc beats the judge, pulls his mask off and his career, Trent, you man up and come and try to take his career.
Oh. Well,
yeah.
Well, actually, I shouldn't say it, but I know who the judge is.
Well, we're not talking about him. We're talking about you.
Oh.
You want me to drive down to Warner Robins, Georgia from Louisville, Kentucky, and end Doc Gayton's career. Is that what you want?
That's right. That's the challenge that's been laid out.
The pothole has been thrown at your feet.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, because I'm confident the judge is going to do the job.
Trent, now that I know you live in Kentucky, I've lectured there a few times. I could probably make a trip up there.
Well, it might get booked in OVW, Dr. Gayton. You against me in OVW. That could happen.
It could happen. Mm-hmm. That would be a barn burner. A slobber knocker.
I mean, the doc's got the edge in the strength, I'll say that. He's determined, but I believe I got the edge in the quickness and the cardio. What do you say, Larry?
We'll check back on May 2. We'll be back here on May 2, and we'll see where we are at that point.
But let's put this out here real quick. You notice that Trent said the judge is going to do the job.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. The job.
He's going to get the job done.
No, you said he was going to do the job. He's going to do the J-O-B.
I'm Dr. Gayton. He sure is. Not
Dr. Gayton.
I'm Dr. Gayton.
Dr. Gayton, thanks for joining us tonight. Really appreciate your time, and I'll see you down there on May 1 for the big show.
Hey, Larry, I would like to thank you for all you do for professional wrestling. People like you really do help the profession, really do help the fans out in understanding things and challenge us to get better and better. So thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I'm not going to say that your direction.
Aha.
I just can't give you those kudos. And I have to say, Murder, you're one of the best I've ever seen, and you're a genius at tag team wrestling.
Thank you, sir.
You're
nothing.
Oh, okay.
You're going to get beat up.
Take care, Dr. Gayton.
Take care, Doc.
See you, Doc. Bye-bye now.
Oh,
all right, he's been waiting patiently. It's time for the Danny Only moment.
Oh, Lord, here we go. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, Mr. Only, tell us. Tell us the tale. Tell us the tale of the Hall of Fame.
Hey, I got to tell you, man, I've been on the phone for like an hour, and I almost hung up earlier because when you guys were talking to Jody Peterman.
We weren't talking to Jody Peterman, see?
Jody Hamilton.
Oh, Jody Hamilton, I'm sorry. Yeah, but anyway, when you guys were talking to Hamilton, I didn't hear Murder One's voice, so I was about to hang up the phone, but I found out when I was on the phone, so I'm good to go now.
Thank you for your patience.
I was studying.
But I got a question. Hey, Trent.
Yeah.
How do the heels on your shoes feel, man? Because I ain't never seen backpedaling like that in a long-ass time.
When did I backpedal?
Dude, I've listened to this show, like, you know, at least every other week for probably the past 6 months, and you have spent your entire time shitting on Doc Gayton and calling him out and blah, 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 and then now he's on the phone, you're like, oh, well, it's very good to talk to you, sir. I just wanted to say that you do a very good job. Come on,
hey,
dog, for real?
He went to Sermo, didn't he? Hello, sir. Can I take your coat,
sir?
I asked all the tough questions. Did I not?
You ain't get any ass like you do when he ain't on the phone.
Yeah, you sure as shit didn't do anything like you do when he ain't on the phone. And I gotta say, I honestly kind of thought the same way you did at first. Just reading about the stuff, I was like, man, this is just another money mark putting himself on. But when I got down to the Rampage locker room, Trent, you don't know. It's a different animal. Yeah, Doc is on the show, and whatever your opinion of his wrestling ability is, shit, there's people who don't think I deserve to be on a wrestling show. But he is not the dude that steps in and is like, no, this is what we're doing because I own the show. No, he ain't like that at all. He's probably one of the most professional people I've been with backstage, and I hate the fact that they went to Sundays because I can't be there anymore in that Rampage locker room. Was one of the best ones I've ever been on. So I think you got it a little bit twisted. What you see on the internet or TV, you know, might be a little bit different than what's going on.
So tell us your story, Danny.
I'm sorry. We're down to just such a few minutes. So if you could give us the short version before we run out of time, Danny. I'm sorry.
How long do I got?
You got 5 minutes.
Okay, I got five minutes. All right, here's the deal. I got kicked out of the Hall of Fame. The reason I got kicked out of the Hall of Fame, it started out as a joke. All right, I was pissed off because they took wrestling out of WWE. I was pissed off because I came up as a wrestler, not an entertainer. You know, I trained to wrestle. I didn't train to be an actor. And what started out as a joke eventually elevated because of, A, a combination of my anger, and, B, a copious amount of alcohol.
I was about to ask, was you drunk? But keep going.
Oh, yeah, I was drunk as shit, dog. But, I mean, they ain't got nothing to do with it. The point was, I don't regret what I said. All right? I've said this before. I said it on a radio interview before on Beyond Ringside. I've said it in my blog on Facebook. I don't regret what I said. What I do regret is the way that I said it. And I almost feel bad talking about it now with everything that's been talked about on today's show, you know, stuff that really makes a fuck. You know, wrestling in general, the passing of Larry Sweeney, the tragedies that wrestlers deal with on a regular basis. The bottom line, and whoever's listening to this, I want you to know this. I feel bad for the way that I went about it because I disrespected everybody who has ever laced up a pair of boots. I've disrespected everybody who wears boots right now, and I disrespected everybody who will ever lace up a pair of boots. The fucked up thing about it is the response has been 50-50. Half of the crowd has been like, dude, I fucking love you. You're awesome. I can't believe you did that. That's amazing. The other half has been like, what the fuck is your problem? You know, that was retarded. I can't believe you did that. I don't regret what I said because I do believe that Vince McMahon is ashamed of wrestling. I believe that he wants to evolve his product into a completely Hollywood product, and he is ashamed of how he made his fortune. What I do regret is the way that I did it. There's a time and a place to do everything. And it took somebody who we all know, and I'm not going to name names, but it took somebody explaining to me in this way. Imagine being at a show and some smart mark is in the crowd yelling out comments the whole time. Doesn't it just piss you off? And I was like, yeah, it does. And that's exactly what I did. So bottom line, I got drunk. I was at the Hall of Fame, and it started building up and started building up to the point where I started yelling, Vince McMahon hates wrestling. You're all whores. Vince hates wrestling. Wrestling is dead. And eventually I was asked to leave. And that's it. That's the short and skinny of it. People want to jump on the spot and give me shit because I got Drew kicked out. Me and Drew are best friends. I've talked to him about it. We're cool. All right? Everything's fine with that. People want to jump up and say, look, I care about you and how you do in life and in wrestling, and what you did was wrong. And to those people, I say I'm sorry. People want to jump up and be fucking Johnny on the spot and just be in the middle of controversy and be like, oh, what you did was messed up, blah, 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 blah. And for them, I got to say, kiss my ass. Because if you ain't one that's been concerned with me for the other 6 days out of the week, then don't be concerned for the one day I did something wrong. So
it was also said on the Internet when it first came out that you were also arrested that same night. Is that true, or is that not part of the story?
No, I ain't never been arrested, man. I'm 31 years old. I've been drinking since I was 16, man. I ain't never been locked up. I ain't never got a DUI. I ain't never run nobody over. I ain't never gotten into a fight. I've been ejected from a few places. That's it.
How did the people at the Hall of Fame around you when you were doing it, how were they reacting to what you were doing?
Well, it first started when Hacksaw came out, and I let out a very loud and thunderous ho. And, you know, Hacksaw came on stage, and I said, ho! And somebody next to me was like, excuse me, you need to keep it down. And I looked at him, I said, excuse me, you need to shut the fuck up, because I'm a grown-ass man, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And if I'm not hurting you personally, then shut your mouth. And the people around me, you know, they were just pretty much like, you need to be quiet. I'm like, well, you can sit here and watch the show, and you don't worry about me because I'm not hurting you. And, I mean, that's how it was.
Well, see, like a level of 1 to 10, what was your drunkenness scale, would you say?
42? Like a 7.
Okay.
Nah, like a 7. I was sober enough to walk down the hallway and explain to the people what happened and to tell them, look, Drew didn't do anything. Let him go back in. And they still said no. And I said, well, you guys are fucking idiots. And I was sober enough to go to the club and sober enough to say, I really hate clubs. I'm getting in the cabin going home. Sober enough to go get Waffle House afterwards and to go home and go to bed. So, I mean, it wasn't.
You wasn't Dragon Con drunk?
Nah, man, Dragon. We all know that there was something different that happened at Dragon Con, but
are you ready for what's coming your way? Because Vince McMahon's going to send the Ultimate Warrior to your house to beat up you and your wife.
I actually had a phone conversation with Ultimate Warrior, and I ended up just punching my dog because he just confused me.
Okay.
Danny, thanks a lot, and appreciate your patience. And I know you were on the phone a long time. Thanks a lot for coming out.
You guys take care. Oh, no, I'll talk to you later, homie.
All right, homie.
We'll be back May 2. We'll see what happens with Dr. Gayton down there in Rampage and see what Trent has to say. Until then.
Chicken Hat saves wrestling on May 2nd.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Wrestling.
We're out of here.
Passion of the Chicken Hat.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.